definitely appreciate you guys' response to the movie and coming out for the movie. And before I get started the Q&A, I just wanted to just acknowledge a couple of things. I wanted to acknowledge a lot of the filmmakers are in here tonight, and I don't want to go into their names because I'll forget them, but producers, directors, producers, DP, my editor, Lenny Messina, and I also want to acknowledge that some of the opening credit sequence left out some of our partners' names, Remy Martin being one of them, and we got a lot of people here. Fight Dog from A Tribe Called Quest is here.
I noticed you was kind of in the background, just very quiet. And so I kind of want to know, what was your mindset, you know, throughout this period, and what role did you play? Were you just kind of active listener, you know, for everyone to kind of vent with, or, you know, where were you at during that time?
Well, my role at the beginning and end of anything is to be a brother. And I don't know if you have siblings. You know, some people who have siblings that may be 4, 5, 6, you can get more of a greater dynamic than maybe just like 1 and 2. But for me, my role, I think in life, is to be of balance. So music, no music, Q-Tip and Fife are my brothers. And since my role, I don't know, the way God made me is to be of calm and try to be self-reflecting as I'm listening. You gotta listen. And in listening, absorb instead of just speaking. So that's what I've done. I don't know really how to answer that question any differently. You know, maybe he should, maybe he can answer that question, because for me, I'm just living and breathing is the way God made me. And I'm a team player.
Hi, my question is for Michael, actually. Aside from the Tribe being an amazing, influential group, what was your motivation behind actually wanting to do this documentary?
First of all, I forgot to say one other person that's here is Pharrell. He's somewhere in here. He's very supportive throughout the whole process. My inspiration for doing the film was, I was at the last show that a Tribe Called Quest did in 1998 at Tramps in New York. And at that show, I said to my friend, I feel like my parents are getting divorced. Again. And, it's a whole other thing. But, you know, for me, A Tribe Called Quest, if you grew up listening to hip-hop in what I refer to the first generation of it, A Tribe Called Quest, the Jungle Brothers, Public Enemy, Eric B. and Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, the list goes on and on. Those people, they were like superheroes. Like Q-Tip, Fife Dawg, Alicia Heath Muhammad, Eric B. and Rakim, they were like superheroes. So, you know, 25 years later, I was curious what their story was. You know, to me, Tribe Called Quest in hip hop is the same as the Beatles, the Rolling Stones. Those groups have been documented beautifully over and over and over again. And to me, I wanted to go back and find out what their story was. So that's really what the inspiration was, and fortunately, you know, we got it done.
Hello. First things first, Mike, one filmmaker to another, thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you so much. Two other questions. One, Mike, what were you shooting on? Because I noticed, you know, you mentioned a lot of filmmakers, a lot of people helped you with it. What were you shooting on? What sort of formats? And also, Fife, how are you doing now, health-wise?
My DP, Robert Benavides, and Deborah Koffler, they both did all the shooting. But we shot on an HVX for the most part. We got in some 16mm footage, which was just, I don't know, that was kind of like, it had to, if you're making a film, there's got to be at least one frame of actual film. So that's what we shot on, most of the HVX. And I'll let Fife answer his question about the help.
I'm doing fine. Everything's good. Shout out to my wife, good looking mom. You know what I'm saying? And I think one of the reasons, I mean, physically, it wasn't that bad. I think mentally it was worse at one point. And because I have such a loving family, my wife, my stepson, my moms, my dad, my little brother, you know, all my family out here in New York, it was difficult because I'm way on the West Coast as well as Atlanta, mainly on the West Coast. But it was hard for them because my grandmother was sick at the same time. And I lost her like last June. But the good thing about my grandmother, she was able to see me getting that transplant and all of that came to fruition. So I'm good. And the crazy thing is, when I was sick, we were traveling, we were touring, I was lugging a bunch of medicine and all of that. And it was difficult performing on that stage. But now that I'm better, the world's in trouble. So thank God. Word up.
Ali Emily, is there a record that you absolutely loved in the beginning that you can't stand to listen to?
Oh, right. Absolutely. I'll let you answer that. First, we might have different opinions, but...
Wait, you guys are not gonna have different opinions. I'm here all new folks. Is this enough? Try to feel it's unbelievable.
What up to Pharrell? What up, Special K, Teddy Ted? I think you guys out there. What up, Uncle Ralph? What up, Prince Paul? You're not forgotten today. Sorry about the midnight barrage thing. I have not forgotten your question. I just wanted to acknowledge some people myself. What up, Boo? You out there? What up, management? say what's up to my publicist. I can't really stop stalling and answer your question. I can't think of a... There's songs I know that we hate performing. Wasn't that intimate enough?
You want me to do it?
Yeah, why not?
Well, since you gave us some shout outs, you know what I'm saying? I want to say what's up to
you.
Say what's up to my man Mo. We got this fanless thing jumping off because you know I'm heavy in sports like your store. So I'm working on my pilot right now with my main man straight out of Queens, New York. My man again, shout out to him. Shout out to my manager. You know what I'm saying? My man DJ Rasta Roots, Dion Liverpool, Smoking Needles is a label. Get familiar with us. You know what I'm saying? And then Riddle Kids is a production company. Shout out to my lawyer Greg. Shout out to Kansa. Yo, I'm forgetting people. My girl Afia, my girl Kiona, they all came down to show support and love for their boy and all they all in here that came. But now, the song that I hate the most, but you guys love the most, Can I Kick It? I hate that motherfucker's ass. We sampled that back in 89, 90 for People's Instinctive. We ain't seen no money off that shit yet. That's why I hate that record, but because you guys love it, thank you very much, man. I'm humbly accepted.
That was quite shocking. I didn't know that.
Yo, real quick. Shout out to Lisa. His boo.
Where you at?
Shout out to Monica Talavera, you know what I'm saying? Oh. Where they at? Alright. Shout out, that's the camp right there, for real.
My sister, is that you holding your hand up? Oh, hold on a second. For real, Can I Kick It? I didn't know that.
You know what?
That you really, you know, wasn't feeling that.
Oh, no, but the crowd loves it, so.
But
we'll get tomatoes if we didn't do that shit.
Can I say one thing about that song? It was because of that song that MTV really embraced us. And it was the last single of the album and pretty much became the entry to what was to come from Low End Theory. And had we not done that, I don't know, you know, I'm just saying.
All things happen for a reason.
It was a beautiful video, it was quite creative, it was, you know. Alright, man, he performs it, so I'm good with that, I'll be happy.
It's like Daylon. What's Daylon's biggest song? They hate that song. I can't hate Can I Kick It, but I'm thankful for Can I Kick It. Because you never know where we would have been. Shout out to Barry Weiss, by the way.
No doubt. What do you have to ask?
She's coming down. Come on, Kelsey, come on.
Good evening.
Hi.
What was the hardest part of making the documentary?
For me, I mean, I don't know if I've even gotten to the hardest part yet. But I'd say the hardest part was the editing process. And, you know, I had good people around me. The editing was
was daunting. Music clearances were really frightening. And that was like, we should have did a short film called Michael Rapaport is Scared Shit Trying to Clear Tribe Called Quest Music. Because, you know, we'd cut scenes around songs and then they'd be like, well, you can't clear the song. And that was a really challenging thing. I mean, making a film is hard. Making an independent film is harder. And making a music documentary about hip hop is really hard. So, I mean, but the editing was probably the most challenging thing for me personally.
And what about for the guys that were being followed by cameras and telling deep, dark secrets?
I didn't hear that last part.
What was the hardest part of the movie for you, like, or the process for you guys?
Being around Michael Rapaport, too. This dude is crazy, man. We were sitting over here. I can't even think right now because he's so hilarious. She's crazy. But nah, the most serious part for me, the hardest part for me was even accepting doing the film and then having to talk about my illness and stuff like that within the film. That was definitely the hardest part. But I felt by the time we were ending filming, I felt like he was my peoples, you know what I'm saying? So I could tell him certain things. And then for him to show the world, I really trusted him with 20 years of our lives in a nutshell, if not more, you know what I'm saying? So that was difficult, but thank you, for real.
One more question.
When you turn up microphone number one, I'm extremely soft-spoken. And next few things I said, I really want you to hear. Is this better? No. Yeah, I know that I do this all the time. I push up the fader because you just turn up green number one so everyone can hear me. The hardest part for me actually was reliving Fife's surgery and seeing the whole thing, him being so vulnerable and really showing the difficulties that are there that has absolutely nothing to do with music, but it's just, you know, like, this is my brother, and I'm pretty sure that there are many people out there who know people or related to people who are, you know, may have a sickness or illness, and to, you know, have an insider's perspective is one thing, and to know, like, you're living your life in your area, your arena, your bubble, and it's just you and your family, and that's it, and you get through, but to know that it is exposed in this way, for me, it was a challenge, you know, because I remember, like, Jerobi let it hang out, as you saw, but I just really remember the challenges, and there are unknown challenges that, you know, exist, and you really want to know, like, whoa, what's going on? You want to know more, you know? So just really seeing that, the pain known and unknown, just, that was it. Other than that, having a camera follow you, having this guy, you know, on you, asking you a series of questions that you have no idea where he's going, when he's asking you, sometimes it's really not a problem.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Last question.
Hi, and Ali did say I'm his sister, so hi. For me, this is intimate because I went to Bertram High School. You saw our principal, who was my volleyball coach, and this is, Mike, honestly, a walk down memory lane, and it's an intimate walk. I don't have so much of a question, but I do want to thank you because there are parts of Ali and Tip and Fife that even though I grew up with them, I grew up in the same house with Ali and in the music, there are parts of their professional development, if you will, that I didn't know. And just like the fans might not have an idea, I think that you did a good job of just showing with integrity and honesty the relationship that I made. And because I see Deuces trying to push for you guys to sort of resolve, what I do want to leave you with is this. You know, time is linear. And I say that often in the business that I do. I wouldn't work in the type of work that I do if it hadn't been for my brother saying, okay, go do this particular line of work. But time is linear. And sometimes how people reveal themselves and how situations unfold, it's always easier to see in a sort of afterthought kind of way what happened, and by then you've developed feelings or sentiments that you almost wish you didn't develop. And so as you guys are going through this, I think it's great that Sony's picking it up, but I just kind of want you to remember, you have the rest of your lives to go, and time is linear. And with time, you wind up forgiving some things. And so I just want to leave you with that sort of sentiment, because I think from beginning to end, even with seeing some of the disconnect that may be in existence, at the end, as a viewer or a fan, you walk away feeling good. It still is a feel-good movie. And I think you kind of put that together.
Thank you.
I'm going to do the last shout-out. And then we're going to wrap up. I want to shout-out to Jerome.